Welcome to the Crystal Pain Show, where we help you embrace your life right where you are and give you practical steps to get where you want to go. Whether you are in your car, folding laundry, cooking, cleaning, or maybe even just enjoying a cup of coffee and a few minutes of quiet, we're so glad you're joining us today. Here's your host, wife, mom of six kids, foster mom, entrepreneur, and author, Crystal Pain.
Welcome to another episode of the Crystal Pain Show. Jesse, it is our week to record an episode. Those of you who haven't noticed, Jesse and I have been recording an episode pretty much every other week. And then on the off weeks, we have been having an interview. So we've been doing this mostly, just as a side note, because we got a lot of feedback from people. Half of our listeners seem to love the episodes between you and me and Jesse, and half of our listeners seem to really love the interviews. And since we can't please all of the people all of the time, I thought, well, let's try to please half of the people half of the time.
Yep.
And maybe there's a little sector of the people who like both. So,
and a little sector that doesn't like either of them.
That's right. And they need to go find another podcast to listen to. But this week, it feels like it has been so long since we've sat down to record an episode together, even though I think it's just been 2 weeks. But we have lived a lot of life in the last 2 weeks. And today we're going to talk about slacker parenting. And I know that just feels like, for a lot of you, wow, that is really what I want to be or do as a parent. It's a tongue-in-cheek phrase, but really it's going to be about how to not have to fix and solve and do everything for your kids, teaching them to be independent, raising them to be adults, and the gift that not only it gives them, but the gift that it gives you, because it allows you to simplify, because you're not having to constantly hover and oversee everything and help them with everything. You're teaching them to be able to do things on their own, but also it allows you then frees you up to be able to just pour into them and love them and be their cheerleaders and walk with them as they get older. So we're going to talk some about what it has looked like for us to really practically walk that out in our lives and more. But before we get to that, Jesse, we just got home from a camping trip.
Literally just got home.
Yep. We did unload the RV and our other vehicle and put everything away with the kids' help, which went remarkably smoothly. While I was unloading,
I was like, wow, this is what happens when everybody works together.
It's amazing. We can get so much done in such a short amount of time. I think it took us about 45 minutes. That was it. And we had everything unloaded and put away, and the house looked in really great shape. So that was wonderful. But we had a great camping trip. It was our second time to rent an RV, which some of you are going to be thinking, well, that's not even a camping trip. But we did go to a campground and we put our RV on a tent/RV site. So we're going to call that camping at this stage of our life with three young children and three teenagers. But it was our second time to rent an RV, but we got smart this time and we rented one that you could drive. Mm-hmm. One of the smaller, I don't know, you probably know.
It's a classy motorhome, not a trailer.
And that worked out so well. It was so much easier than last time we had rented a trailer that you had to have a big truck and pull it. And
that we borrowed.
And it was just kind of scary to have to pull that in and out when we weren't used to, you weren't used to driving that large of a vehicle with trailer. And
And somebody else's truck.
So. Yes, it went so smoothly this time. And we had a great camping trip. You and I mostly just stayed around the RV. We went with our community group. And so they went out and did some different things. But with David and Kirsten and Micah, we stayed pretty put. But we still got to really enjoy it. And we slept really well.
Which, I was very surprised.
Yes. All eight of us in this very small space, we had just enough beds for everyone. And I think I slept better last night than I have slept, I don't know. Hold on. Mm-hmm. Like, I feel so good today. And usually when you come back from a camping trip, you're dragging and so exhausted. And the weather was perfect. We didn't get sunburned, but it was cool, but it wasn't too cold. And it was warm, but it wasn't too warm. And it didn't rain. And there were no bugs, really, because it was this time of year. And it was just a really special.
One thing I did learn was how much our kids like to sleep in cold.
Yes.
That was a little shocking. I was like, well, what is your rooms like?
Because they said, can we please turn the air conditioner down really low? And we're like, okay. And they're like, no, no, no. We need it much, much colder than that. And so in the middle of the night, the first night, you and I woke up because we were so cold and we didn't have enough blankets and we were freezing. Like, we would have slept better that night if we had just wasn't so freezing cold. And you ended up turning the air conditioner off because they were all asleep. Mm-hmm. And then we slept much better because it was off. But yes, apparently they like it Arctic. and we don't know these things because we never sleep. All their bedrooms are upstairs.
Right.
And we're on the main floor. And so we don't sleep up there. And apparently they have all agreed together to have
that or our air conditioner up there.
Freezing, frigid.
Works really well and the heat doesn't work at all.
No. But yes. Also, we had our girls went to prom. But we also sort of went to prom, not because we're stalker parents. I guess we're talking about slacker parenting, right. But because we have a senior this year. Catherine is graduating in May. And so at the private Christian school that they go to at the senior year, they have a senior dinner and the parents come and the school headmaster and his wife give a blessing over every single child, which was really special, and just kind of speak life over them for what they've seen in them, what they see their potential, and just encourage them. And then the parents speak a blessing over the child as well during dinner. And then after the dinner, the mothers and sons and fathers and daughters get to have the first dance. And so I wasn't really cluing in until Friday when prom was. It struck me, I have never been to prom before. And Jesse has never been to prom before because we were homeschooled. And that was back in the olden days when they didn't have proms for homeschoolers. I think they probably have them now or have opportunities for similar things for homeschoolers. But even if they had had them, we probably wouldn't have been going because our parents weren't really into the dancing sort of scene. So Jesse, you did this little promposal thing for me with Catherine.
Catherine's idea. Dad, you have to do this.
It was really sweet. And really, it was just fun. It was really special because then also Caitlin went because she went with one of the senior boys as his friend date. And then Silas got to go because we were able to buy a ticket for him. They had an extra ticket. So we got to go with all three of our older kids and had babysitters for the little ones. And so it was just a really special evening. So I feel like I'm finally getting back on the reading train again. I feel like ever since my book, I was in the middle of launching that, I kind of fell off a little bit of consistently reading. And I'll have to say 75 hard, that very much helped me because every single day you are supposed to read 10 pages of a nonfiction book, which sounds so minimal, but just getting in the habit of doing that first thing in the morning really encouraged me to get back to very regular reading and be finishing books. I've been finishing 1 to 2 books every week. So that's very encouraging to me. Speaking of which, 75 hard. well, Jesse and I are both starting over again tomorrow. You made it to, how far did you make it?
36 days.
36 days. And I made it to, I think I was on day 21, but then life happened for both of us. What was it? I don't even remember what it was, but for both of us.
My thing was I had a system how I was able to get everything in each day. And then I tried tweaking the system a little bit. And usually when I try to try something new, it doesn't quite go as well as I had hoped. So my lesson on that section of 75 hard was stick with the mundane. That is what the boring is what is easy and repeatable. And when you get in that rut, don't change anything. And anybody that knows me knows I like to change things.
Yeah.
Like to try new things.
So you're like, let's try this new idea. And then it just kind of, yeah. I had 2 days where I almost finished, but both days it was like I was at 80% in three of the areas and didn't make it. So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to start over. And then I knew we had this. I went to Florida on Thursday to record with Family Life and just flew there and back in one day. And then we had the camping trip. And so I was like, you know what? I'm just going to restart on Monday, which I know everybody's like, no, just start today. But I knew realistically that it was probably better for me just to start on Monday. And I said to you on the camping trip, I'm really happy that I just decided to start again on Monday.
Being intentional, start on Monday. I'm going to try to get as much done today as I can, even though technically not starting. But
well, and I just realized 21 days of that consistency, drinking the gallon of water and going, you know, exercising indoors, exercising outdoors, sticking with my plan for eating and eating enough protein and reading, all of those things, I realized I'm still doing most of them.
Right.
Just because I got into that rut. And so I feel like it's not going to be hard at all to jump right back in because I've been doing about 80% the last few days just because I felt so much better.
Right.
And so anyway, that was an aside. But I just, I'm almost done with listening to The Bookwoman's Daughter. So I talked about The Bookwoman of Troublesome Creek a number of episodes ago. It was a very fascinating audiobook. Kind of one of those where there weren't layers upon layers upon layers, and it wasn't this very exciting sort of read, but it just was this quiet one that made you really think. And so this is about The Bookwoman's Daughter. Again, it's fiction, but based in a time in history, and it's about the Blue People. And these were people who had a certain gene that if both the mother and father had the gene, then their children, some of their children would be born with this blue skin. And they were seen in that day as a colored person.
This was primarily in Kentucky, right?
Yes. And very kind of backwoods Kentucky, where people had very little education and kind of very primitive. A lot of them didn't really come out of their homes and interact with many people. And so it's not only about the Blue People, but also about the Pack Horse Librarian Project. And so these women who would ride on horses to these primitive areas and homes and bring them library books every week. And so it's just a continuation of the story, but I'm really enjoying it. It's kind of telling then how the Pack Horse Librarian Project and the Blue People, kind of how that was viewed and how that was going, the Librarian Project, and then how Blue People were viewed kind of a little later on in time. And so I am almost finished with listening to that. It's by Kim Michelle Richardson. And I just, like I said, it really has made me think and examine and just learn new things, which I feel like there's always a lot of value in a book if it makes you think and you learn new things about history. Now, Jesse, you have been listening to a lot of interesting podcasts, I feel like, recently, and also telling me about this book that you, I think, heard from a podcast that they were interviewing the author.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was listening to the Jack Carr podcast, and he a lot of times has authors on talking about their new works that are coming out. And he had on Larry Loftus. And so I was listening to that podcast, and he's talking about a new book that he has coming out called The Watchmaker's Daughter. And Larry Loftus is an author that likes to write nonfiction books in a dramatic way, basically kind of like a thriller way of writing nonfiction. So
true stories. Yeah, just I think stories. Also, he probably picks stories that would lend themselves to be thrillers.
Right now, and he's got 4 books with The Watchmaker's Daughter coming out. That'll be the 4th book. That is about Corrie ten Boom. And the first book that I had read of his was really good, and that was Into the Lion's Mouth, about a World War II spy that was the inspiration for James Bond. think we've talked about that in the past. And then I read the next book, Codename Lease. Actually, I listened to that book. Well, I've just finished listening to the third book. It's called A Princess Spy. And it's about an American woman that became a spy working for the OSS during World War II. And she was stationed over in Spain. A lot happened between the Spain and Portugal. And the reason it's entitled The Princess Spy is she ultimately ends up marrying a titled person there in Spain and becomes, she wasn't Duchess or Countess, but she
became... While she was a spy? Or after?
Both.
Okay.
So she got married. She tried to get out of the OSS. She got married and then continued to do some work with, and actually the OSS disbanded after World War II. So she was working for the company that was set up after the OSS was disbanded and prior to the CIA being formed to kind of keep their eyes on some people that were overseas. And she was actually influential in the investigations during the latter part of World War II. And she also kind of tried looking into the gold and art thefts after World War II. So pretty fascinating. She kind of almost stumbled upon a trail that they would use to transport the stolen art to, they think, to Argentina.
Fascinating.
Pretty fascinating.
Now I have to listen to that. And I really am excited about The Watchmaker's Daughter because I've loved reading books by Corrie ten Boom. And so I'm excited to hear kind of his take on her story. So what's saving my life this week? Well, I have two things because I feel like it's been so long since we've done a podcast. Only it's been 2 weeks. But one of them is Iron in a Bottle. And I've used this multiple times over just the last few days because I had to go to a couple of different events right before we went to on our camping trip. I had this fundraiser event for the nonprofit that I'm the board chair for. And then also, like I said, I flew to Florida to go to Family Life to do recordings. And so Iron in a Bottle is this spray that you can spray on your kids. That's what you get. I don't know where my brain is. I said I got good sleep last night. You can spray on your clothes if they are a little bit wrinkly or quite a bit wrinkly. I don't own an iron. I do have a steamer, but prefer not to use it unless I absolutely have to. And so you just hang it up, you spray it, and you let it dry. And so typically it works best if you do it overnight or if you... don't do it right before because it's going to be wet and it's still going to be wrinkled, but you have to let it dry. Usually it takes about, I would say, 30 minutes to an hour, depending upon how much you spray it. And it truly works. Like it takes the wrinkles out and it's kind of feels like it was starch. This wouldn't work if you needed to have pressed starch dress shirts for work or something, but for just normal, you know, dresses, or I used it on my blazer. I've used it on shirts. I've used it on even the kids' clothes. If they needed to have something look nice for something and they had some wrinkles. And so it's by Tom and Sherry. It is available on Amazon. My friend Kate actually found it. I think it was an Instagram ad or something. And she bought two bottles. And so she gave me one and I've just really loved it. Now there are multiple people who've told me that they will just spray straight up water on clothes and let it hang and that will work, or they will put an ice cube in the dryer with clothes and run it and that will work as well. But I've just found that this works even better because it kind of has that stiff starched feel to it. And so then it holds the wrinkles out. Sometimes if I've used water or something, it'll somewhat get it out. But then as soon as I wear it, then it gets wrinkled again. Whereas this kind of has a starched feel where it doesn't get the wrinkles.
Did you use it before the TAC event?
I used it for my blazer.
Because you had gotten it out and it was kind of wrinkly. And I said, hey, wear it and the wrinkles will fall out.
So I didn't use it that night, but before I went to Family Life, I sprayed it. I also then ended up steaming it a little bit as well. Mm-hmm. And then I let it dry overnight and it held up so well. I wore it all at the airport. Then I wore it all there. And I had to do a lot of walking. I was in Florida. So it was hot and you're kind of sweaty and it held up really well. Wore it on the plane home. And then the next day it was still in great shape, a little bit of wrinkles, like you said. Mm-hmm. But then by the time I wore it, got to the event, like it looked great because they took pictures and stuff and it looks really good. So I like how the iron in a bottle holds, like it kind of holds the wrinkles out. So that's the first one. The second one is called Mamava Pods, M-A-M-A-V-A. So Mamava, I guess is how you pronounce it. I heard about this from my sister, Gretchen. She is a nursing mama and she had flown recently and she's like, Crystal, have you downloaded the Mamava app? It tells you the best places that you can breastfeed or pump at airports. Now, I have flown so much as a breastfeeding mom and never heard of this app. I don't know that they had it probably when, you know, we had the older three, but with Kirsten, I didn't fly as much, but with Micah, I've flown quite a bit and never heard of this. And so I was going on this trip and I downloaded the app and found out that at the Orlando airport, they had multiple pods, is what they're called, where you could go and pump or breastfeed. And they're these really nice, spacious little rooms that are you just go in there and you can nurse or pump, and they're private and quiet and clean. And it's so much better than pumping in a bathroom stall. So much better. I have no qualms with nursing in public. I've just done it for so long, but pumping in public is not something that I feel comfortable doing like that. We've crossed the line of, I won't do that. And so having this quiet place to go pump, I used it 3 times on my trip because I flew in a little bit early and went ahead and pumped. And then right before I had to leave in the Uber, I pumped, and because I knew I was going to be gone for at least four hours, and then pumped as soon as I got back. And it was amazing. So highly recommend it. So if you, they have them, it's not just for airports, I guess. Anywhere, you can just look on the app and it will show you the closest places to wherever you are that have breastfeeding friendly areas, actual lactation rooms, or Mamava pods. And so a very valuable app if you are a breastfeeding or a pumping mom.
Are those before or after security?
They had both. So the one that I used was actually after security. And the reason is I had trouble. It had been years since I'd been to the Orlando airport. So on the app, it said, it didn't give me enough directions that I knew the Orlando airport to be able to figure out. Once I got out of past security, I was able to kind of look at all the signs and then get my bearings of, oh, they have, I think this is correct. So they have like gates 1 to 100 and something. They don't have C36, A36, B36. They just have one through it. So that's what was throwing me off, was because I was like, well, I don't know. Is this B terminal? Is this A terminal? I just know.
Yeah.
So once I got out and I was able to figure that out, but then in the B terminal in the baggage claim, they have a Mamava pod. So that's where I went, just because I was like, oh, it was right there. And then I could do it before security.
That's really convenient.
But they also have 2 other ones that are past security. They also have a number of lactation rooms, it said on the app, that are at the Orlando airport, but I didn't check those out. This episode is sponsored by ByHeart. And I feel like I need to preface what I'm going to say with this. I'm a huge advocate of breastfeeding. Anyone who knows me well knows that nursing is something I believe in, and all 5 of our biological children were breastfed until they were 19 to 23 months old. However, we also have fostered and adopted, and I've been so grateful for formula companies in those situations. I'm also grateful for formula companies because our last 2 biological children, I really struggled with my supply and did all the things, spent so much time and effort, and just was never able to produce enough for them to be able to gain weight and not be hungry. And so I was so grateful for companies like ByHeart. ByHeart is an infant nutrition company built from the ground up to deliver real innovation on behalf of babies and parents. Their mission is simple: make the best formula in the world. Using the latest in breast milk science, ByHeart created a clinically proven, easy-to-digest infant formula that's made with organic, grass-fed whole milk, certified clean ingredients, and features a patented protein blend that gets closest to breast milk. They're made with certified clean ingredients. It has no soy, corn syrup, GMOs, or palm oil. Curious about ByHeart? Redeem your welcome offer at byheart.com/podcast with code CRYSTAL for a limited time. Additional terms and conditions apply. So go to byheart.com/podcast and use CRYSTAL to get your welcome offer. If you have a big event coming up that you need to get a nice outfit for, and you are dreading having to do the shopping for it, and also you're like, oh, I don't want to spend a whole bunch of money, well, I've got a solution for you. Armoire is a clothing rental service, and they have such great clothes to choose from. Here's the thing. You go on their website, and you get to take a survey that is going to really help you define your style, and you can also tell them if you're looking for something specific. So if you're looking for dresses, a type of dress, formal dresses, office wear, whatever it is, maybe you're looking for casual clothes, I don't know, but you can tell them what you're looking for, and then they are going to curate this closet for you of items to choose from. And then you choose which ones you want to rent and they ship them right to your door. So you don't even have to go in store and try things on. I was so impressed with what they sent me. They nailed my style and also they nailed my size, which I find very difficult to do. I can go to the mall and try on item after item after item after item, and rarely do I find things that fit me really well. But almost everything they sent fit me perfectly. In fact, I had to send back my bag of the clothes that I had rented, and I was really sad to part with it because some of the things in it I had worn so many times that I really didn't want to give them up because I love them so much. In fact, I was like, should I just go ahead and purchase this? Which is an option that they offer as well. But if you'd like to try out this clothing rental service, right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/crystal. That is armoire.style, armoire.style/crystal to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. All right, slacker parenting. So this was inspired by Allie Worthington's new book that hasn't come out yet that I got to read a pre-release copy because I wrote an endorsement for it. It's called Remaining You While Raising Them, The Secret Art of Confident Motherhood. And we'll probably talk about this more on the show in the future because I get to have her on the podcast, which I'm really excited about. And I actually finished this book this week on the plane. But I loved this section. So she said, on a whim, I wrote an article embracing what I call slacker parenting. It was a response to the overparenting that so many women felt pressured to do. I asked in the article, what if instead of hovering over your kids at night, making sure every last math problem is correct and every book report is finished, you simply didn't and let them learn to do their work? What if your morning routine of running around, making sure the kids are dressed and all their lunches are packed no longer was your problem? And you just let them pick out their clothes and get this, pack their own lunches. Of course, you may have to step in and draw the line somewhere. Otherwise, they'd probably walk off with their pants on backward and Captain Crunch sandwiches for lunch. But for the most part, think of all the extra time you'd have. You could take a whole 10-minute long shower. She says, slacker parenting was my tongue-in-cheek way of saying that parents have permission to focus on the majors, not the minors. And I have talked to so many moms, especially recently, who just feel overwhelmed with trying to keep their kids' schedule in line, trying to help their kids with all their homework, trying to just figure out and manage all the things for their child. I just got a message from someone, I think it was yesterday, asking me, what do our teens routines look like after school, because they're trying to help their 13-year-old and they can't figure out how he can get all the things done when he wants to have downtime, but he also needs to work on his homework. And she said she's having the hardest time getting him to transition from downtime to homework. And I just wrote back and I was like, that's not something that I consider to be my problem. Like, I have just handed off a lot of the responsibility of these things to our kids from an early age so that I don't worry. Like, that's not my responsibility. That's Silas, as our 13-year-old, almost 14-year-old, it's his responsibility when he gets home from school to take care of his own homework. I don't know. I never check his homework. I never look at online. I could look and see what he has assigned. I don't. If he needs help, he comes and asks for help. And I told this woman, I said, the only time that I do check with him is if he asks to go to a friend's house. And if he also has a sports practice or a game or something that same day, and he'll say, hey, after my game or after my practice, can I go over to so-and-so's house? And that's, I'll usually say, well, do you have a lot of homework tonight? Because I'm still trying to teach him about learning to manage his time. And so that's something, you know, for him to think through. Do I have a lot of homework? Am I going to need to be doing homework? Because we have had instances where he's made choices to do things and then it's 9:30 at night and he's stressed about getting his homework done. And so helping him to think through that. But, you know, she just, it was kind of blowing her mind to think of, oh, wait, I could step back and I could hand this off to my child. Now, I'm not saying that if you've never given your 13-year-old anything, you've done everything for them, then all of a sudden one day you're like, okay, from here on out, I'm never doing anything for you. This is a process, but this is something that if you have young kids, start them now. Like Kirsten, she just turned 3 and we are starting her with as much as she is capable of doing. We are handing that off to her because, you know, just little things like take yourself potty, get yourself dressed, pick out your clothes. You know, how she can do little, you know, make kind of some of her food for herself. Mm-hmm. We're letting her do it. If she asks, can I do it, mama? Or I'll do it myself. I pretty much always try to, as long as she's asking nicely, let her try to do it. Kids are way more capable than we oftentimes give them credit for. And they get so much fulfillment from doing it themselves. And so if from the young age, you start just empowering them to take care of their own stuff and to do it for themselves, you're going to work yourself out of a job so much quicker. And then you're going to have time to just be able to enjoy your child and to love them and to walk with them instead of just stressing over micromanaging all of the details of their life. And so I would just encourage you, one, to recognize and remember your child is probably much more capable than you give them credit for. But you have to build that into them.
Definitely.
And so the more that you can speak life to them, the more that you can empower them through your language. Pay attention. Are you saying things like, oh, they'll never be able to do that? Or they're just so not on the ball. Like, pay attention to the words that you're saying about your kids, because oftentimes they will live up to what you speak into them. So I think that this really starts for us. It's been building trust. So we have to build that trust relationship. Right. It's a two-way sort of thing that they know, like they can trust that we trust them. But then also they recognize, oh, mom trusts me, so I better be worthy of that trust. Mm-hmm. So you start that from a young age of, you know, with Kirsten now, it's like, good job. Oh my goodness, you did that all by yourself. Look at you. You are getting to be such a big girl. And we really praise that. Her helping, having her help alongside. She's learning how to start the laundry. She's learning how to clean and work with me and fold the laundry and help with the dishes and help clean up her stuff after her, put things in the trash. To, you know, just every little time that I can have her be involved and do it with me or do it herself as best as she can versus me doing it for her, I'd really try to have her do that because I'm always thinking she is going to be an adult someday. And how can I help her live into that and become more independent? So building that trust.
And she is asking to help. So she sees us doing things. She'll come up and say, Daddy, can I help you? Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like, oh, Kirsten, come here. We're, you know, you need to do this. Mm-hmm. It's on her own. She wants to be able to help. And part of it is also she has big siblings that she sees as well. And she wants to be like them. But she does have that desire to help.
Well, and I think the other thing is how you speak about it. Again, if you're like, you have to do this versus you get to do this. You know, like,
oh, language is extremely important.
Saying, it's chore time. We're going to do chores. And then after we do chores, we get to have tea time and we're going to do preschool time. And then after preschool time, then it's lunch. And then you get to watch a show. But you make it all exciting. And so then she knows. And it's funny because the other day I told her it was chore time, but there wasn't any laundry to start. But she's like, Mom, it's chore time. We have to start the laundry. And I said,
she's big into routines and everything. You have to do the same thing over and over and don't deviate from that.
We were all caught up on the laundry. So, but so I had to come up with some laundry for her to put in the washer and start because she was so adamant, like, it's chore time. We always start the laundry when it's chore time. And so I found some kitchen towels that I was like, yeah, we can wash these just because she was so like, we were not moving on to the next thing until we had finished that part of chore time. It was funny, but just how she is starting to really learn and be so excited about the fact that she's capable of doing this herself. I think the second thing for us that has been so helpful with this is to really, as much as we possibly can, to not solve problems for our kids. So if they come to us, and I think a few days ago, one of the kids woke up, they were not in a good mood, and they were really frustrated about some things. So I could have swooped in, and I could have been like, you know what? I'm going to email. They were frustrated because they had something that was due and the teacher hadn't given them enough time, they felt, to do it. And they just were feeling the pressure of that. And it was also, it was a team project and some other people had dropped the ball on some things. So I could have swooped in and said, you know what? I'm going to email that teacher. I'm going to let them know that that other child did not know what they were supposed to do. And so therefore they need to give you an extension of time and blah, blah, blah. But instead I let them vent because I think that's important, you know, for them to have a safe space, for them to vent all of their frustration. Then I said, what are you going to do about it? And it was just quiet and let them come up with the solution. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about some different ideas. I was like, well, what about this? What about that? How much is done with the project? Do you have any time that you can work on it today? And so I will try to ask them questions to try to help them be thinking of ways to solve the problem on their own. Mm-hmm. And honestly, I felt like in that case, they just needed to vent out.
Right.
And then once they had vented that out and we kind of talked through things, their attitude completely changed. I don't even know what happened. I never even asked them what happened at school. We didn't get a chance to because they were so just fine with everything then. But really thinking of how can I help them figure out how to be a problem solver instead of just solving the problem for them? Because if you always solve the problem for them, you're teaching your child to always look to others to solve their problems, to be dependent upon you, and that they don't have what it takes to be able to figure it out themselves. And so teaching them to be problem solvers is one gift that you can give your child because you're not always going to be there for them.
Yep.
And then teaching them to ask for help instead of to expect it. So like I said with Silas, he does all of his homework. He's done all of his homework for, I mean,
Years.
And same with the girls. And he is just, he's responsible for all of it. But there are some times when he'll come to me and he'll say, hey, Mom, can you help me study for this test? Mm-hmm. Or, hey, Mom, I'm working on this project. Can you read over this and look at this? Or can I show you what I'm working on here? Do you have any ideas? which is great. I am happy to give, to be a sounding board, to help quiz him on things, but it's his responsibility to come and ask for help. So from a young age, I've said to him, let me know if you need any help with your homework. Instead of, what's your homework tonight? Let's sit down and let's work on it. It's, let me know if you need any help. And then he comes to me sometimes, but it's that gift also that we're giving them of teaching them to know when they need to ask for help and then to ask for help.
No, don't be afraid.
Because I think a lot of times we as adults don't know when to ask for help. We try to do it all ourselves and then we end up in a mess, you know, or we're too proud. I know for me, it's like to ask for help. I just want to do it all myself. And so teaching them that skill and that they know that if they ask for help, we're going to be happy to help them, but they're not expecting that mom's going to do the project for me. And I have found that they just have so much more fulfillment from working hard, figuring it out themselves, being a problem solver, and then doing the project or doing the thing, completing it and seeing the end result. I think of Catherine just today, her coming to us. I think she came to you as well. She was so excited. She's been helping with another guy at school to spearhead this little business all year long where they have been selling drinks at lunchtime. The school gave them permission to do this. So they go out and they buy drinks and then they bring them back. It's things like soda and chocolate milk and different things like that. And at lunchtime, they sell them for a profit. And they make money every single day, but they are completely responsible for all of it. They have to go out and buy the stuff. They have to keep, you know, the spreadsheet with all of the details, figure out where is it cheapest to buy it? How much do they sell it for to make a profit? What items do they need to buy every week? You know, just taking inventory. It's a very simple thing, but they've done it all themselves. And she is so stoked about how well it's done, how much money she's made this year, and how, you know, she told me, she's like, it's just so cool because we did this all ourselves. And she said, it just gives me so much excitement about the possibilities that are out there. And, you know, it's a small thing, but just encouraging your kids to be capable and to do things on their own and to just see them as they get older and really apply those skills in real life ways and be able to see a lot of success from it and the fulfillment that comes. And so I just think those are life lessons that for the rest of her life, she's going to take with her and hopefully going to apply to a lot of different things. So this is great practice. It's a gift that you give your child because it allows them to feel more empowered. It's also a gift that you give yourself because it takes a lot off of your plate so that you can be a more calm parent and you can have the bandwidth to be able to love them, walk with them, enjoy them. But also I was thinking about this is great practice for letting go. And as we are at this cusp of letting our 18-year-old daughter go, in a sense, I just think back to, I'm so grateful for all the years that we have invested in helping her to be a problem solver because I see her going out in the world and finding solutions and asking for help when she needs help, but feeling so empowered that she is capable of doing this on her own and that she doesn't need to have someone else there micromanaging her, that she can figure it out. And if she doesn't know, she can ask for help. So slacker parenting, or whatever you want to call it, highly recommend it. And I hope this inspires you and encourages you in some way. And we love and welcome your feedback as always. Send an email with any thoughts on the show to crystal@moneysavingmom.com. Have a great week and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. For more great resources, please visit crystalpayne.com.